to the worldwide broadcast of the Ted and Austin Brewer Show, bringing you the latest world news and health research. Hope everyone's having an absolutely terrific day today. Hope you guys had a blessed, safe weekend. You guys enjoyed the Hagman Show on Friday. Ted and I actually went back and forth as far as he did 30 minutes, and then I did 30 minutes on the Hagman Show. So we had a really good show if you guys want to listen to that. And, yeah, we're running wide open again down here at Health Masters. And pretty much from what we have seen in Florida over the weekend is the now have checkpoints coming into the state of Florida via all the interstates at the weight stations. They've actually shut down the just open aspect of the interstates to come into Florida, and they're checking individuals to see what state they are from. And allegedly, from what I've been told, is they are also doing coronavirus test on certain individuals if they're showing any type of symptoms and being told they have to self-quarantine, even though this won't completely stop the onslaught of all the New York Yankees wanting to come down here and invade Florida because they don't want to deal with what's going on in their own state. We now at least have some type of semblance of restriction on coming in. But on the question that also bears to mind, and Dad can weigh in on this in a second, where is this going to stop? Or we already now have checkpoints coming in the state of Florida. What's going to be the next step? Are we now going to have people basically stopped and turned around and not be able to come into the state of Florida? Are we going to start having checkpoints throughout the entire state of Florida? Are we going to start having points where you have to be tested for the coronavirus at any type of checkpoint, even inside the state? I don't know. Those are things we're just going to have to wait and see what happens. But very interesting times that we're starting to see come upon us in this great state of America, Deb.
You know, it's interesting. Austin, because Cuomo basically, Trump said they were going to declare martial law in New York and basically cordon it all off. And Cuomo, the governor, basically came in and said, you know, or the mayor or whoever he is of New York, he came in and basically said that, you know, that would be the declaration of war against the state of New York. And you got to remember, see, in the southern states, you know, I believe all of them of Florida, when they were allowed back into the Union after the Civil War, they had to sign that they would never, ever bear arms against the Union again, against the federal government again, or they weren't allowed back in. And the carpetbaggers were, you know, basically raping and pillaging the South. New York never signed that. And so now he's said, and Trump quickly backed off of the fact that that would be, you know, the United States, you know, going in and basically quarantining New York. And, you know, New York said, no, you're not going to do that to us. I got to give Cuomo credit for that, because quite frankly, that's pretty impressive that he would do that and stand against the president like that. And so what's interesting about all of this is that, you know, we have to ask ourselves where the line in the sand is and where we're going to draw it. This morning I had another friend of mine call me up. Great guy. I've known him for many, many years. Very successful business guy. And he's got himself wrapped up in the Q thing. And that Donald Trump is crashing the Federal Reserve and Donald Trump is doing all this stuff on purpose. Wait a minute. Let me stop for 1 second. The Federal Reserve Bank is above the law in the United States. They're not bound by the laws of the United States. Alan Greenspan said that, and they've all said that. They will not even allow themselves to be fully audited. Ron Paul got a partial audit and got to show all the money they had basically misappropriated years ago with the $17 trillion disappeared. They're not going to be audited. They're not going to allow that. And if the Federal Reserve audit, if the Federal Reserve is basically changed, it will be changed to become part of the new world order of currencies, completely run out of Switzerland, you know, probably from the Bank of International Settlements. And this is what's this. These are the guys who run the planet. You know, this is the guys who basically are the cabalist bankers, and they're putting together a new world order with new world banking system with a new world currency. That's what's happening right now as we watch history unfold. Now, whether they're successful or not, I don't know. But think about it. You know, fuel prices, oil prices have crashed. I mean, they're low. When I checked on Friday, they were extremely low. And, you know, and the dollar is traded and the petrodollar is used to buy oil with all the different countries around the world. Now, there won't be a whole lot of dollars being used to buy oil because the dollars have basically the price of oil has completely collapsed. So now we're in a situation that we're going to lose a lot of stability in our petrodollar. All of this stuff is being done on purpose, every bit of it. And again, they're trying to crash the old system to bring in the new world order, because out of chaos will come a new world order. Now, an interesting article was written this weekend. I'm gonna read you part of it. I posted it online, and it says coronavirus killed the Constitution star, and it deals with an old song that was basically from the Buggles from 1979, as far as the basically how radio was replaced by TV. But it also is an interesting article, as it kind of gives a breakdown of what's happened and where we are. It says, since the advent and spread of the COVID virus, to coronavirus, we've been presented with new and improved Orwellian terminology every week. Destinations such as flatten the curve, community spread, social distancing, and even destiny mitigation have become part of our collective vocabulary. And just as new forms of thought control were introduced by the globalists via political correctness, so too have terms like social distancing, sheltering in place, and self-quarantine launched virtue signaling to entirely new levels. It has been stunning to watch. And what is even more amazing is the sheer power of the electronic media's imprint upon the collective psyche. 6 feet of separation, or 6 degrees of Kevin Bacon, because 5 is not enough and 7 is an overkill. It appears the same organizations that brought us the magic bullet theory of the Kennedy assassination. Now we're talking about, they don't say this, but I'm telling you who they are, the Kabbalists who run the banking system. 9/11, the Patriot Act, weapons of mass destructions, shock and awe, have once again delivered another grand coup de grace to the nation. This time, however, a large percentage of the alternative internet has accepted the premises of the powers that be, to wit, the presumptions regarding the Kung Flu's infectivity and mortality rates. Perhaps this was because of a readiness to acknowledge the inevitability of prophesized plagues, societal fourth turnings, and or secret bioweapon programs, or maybe because this coronavirus actually is a bona fide plague of biblical proportions, a catalyst of Strauss and Howe's A Winter Session, and the common cold souped up with a dash of AIDS and SARS. But whether real or hyped, it does appear the coronavirus was a plandemic, P-L-A-N, from the start, if only for the reasons as described in my previous articles entitled 6 Reasons Why the COVID Virus Fails the Sniff Test, and they should have called it Control Virus. Go ahead and call me a conspiracy theorist. You wouldn't be the first one. In fact, recently when I posted the theory of Kung Flu as a cover story for the controlled demolition of everything bubble, a woman I was speaking with exclaimed in no uncertain terms that our leaders would never do such a thing. I ask her, now listen to what he says here. Listen to what he says. I'm going to read you this paragraph. This is why I read the whole thing. I ask her if she knew that the real rulers of the world were Luciferian murderers and pedophiles whose ultimate goals were to depopulate the earth and achieve immortality through technology. She had no idea. In any event, it's not hard to imagine how it might have, transpired. Now, guys, here's the thing that we've got to look at. He made a very good point about all of this political correct talk. We have all been now, programmed to be politically correct in our speech. Now, if you listen to this show, you've learned long ago that dog don't hunt with Ted and Austin. We don't play that game at all, ever. And, we're going to call what it is what it is. The problem is the vast majority of people in the United States don't call what it is what it is. They want to compromise every single thing they do and what they believe based on the altar of political correctness. I'm not going to do that, neither is Austin. Guys, we are being basically played like a cheap fiddle right now. We are basically the whore of the Kabbalists. There we go. We're being used like a whore. James Traficant said the same thing back in the 90s before they threw him in jail for 8 years, and then suddenly he dies when the tractor rolls over him. I mean, all of these things are happening because this is what they want to have happen. They're bringing in their third temple. And I had a really long talk this morning. In fact, I told him finally, hey, I got to get off the air because I got to go on live for 10 minutes. I had a long talk about the third temple. Nobody wants to talk about the third temple. And nobody wants to talk about Afghanistan and the 10,000 metric tons of heroin that are being brought into the U.S. and globally every single year in the tune of trillions of dollars under the Trump administration. Because the world is run by organized crime. We've got the Jewish mafia, the Italian mafia, the Russian mafia, all these different mafioso family groups that have come together now in the last 70, 80 years to own and operate the entire planet, all being maintained through the central banking systems, through the international banking cartels that work with them, funneling
dirty drug money through their channels. This is who runs the planet, but nobody wants to talk about that. That's why you never hear about, you don't hear anybody, no one has ever said on the debate stage when the presidential candidates are being debated and basically given these little soft questions, and Hillary Clinton had even been given the questions and the answers before she even spoke. No one asks her, what about the 10,000 metric tons of heroin coming out of the United States because of the CIA and because of Afghanistan being distributed to the people of the world and enslaving the entire planet to opium addiction? What about that, Hillary? What about that, Donald? How are you going to fix that? No one says those questions because it's all an orchestrated show. It's basically a psychop. But guys, let me tell you something, though. You know, my buddy was asking me, what are the choices? Well, the choices are, we have to get rid of the Federal Reserve. We have to restore normal money. We've got to turn gold and silver loose from its constraints in the paper market and let it do what it's going to do to get stabilized. We have to have a gold-backed currency. And even if we don't have a gold-backed currency, we have to have a currency that's based on the U.S. dollar being owned by the people of the United States and the productivity of the people of the United States, kind of like Germany did in 1938. That's what we have to have. We have to get rid – we have to shake the shackles loose of the Babylonian money masters with their Babylonian money magic through the Kabbalist trash they've been taught from the Zohar. That has to happen first. And if we do that and we get rid of these guys doing clean out the government – remember, we've got a lot of communist infiltrators in the government. You say, what do you mean communist? New World Order guys, that's Building 7 guys, guys that basically are doing what they're told to do because that's the plan of these other groups of people that basically go bump in the night and like to drink blood and kill people and sacrifice them. These sickos from the doggone Canaanite religions, the Druids, like Winston Churchill, he was a Druid. All these crazy things are happening right now as we speak, as we're being taught more and more political correctness. But I want you guys to always remember something. God is in control right now. Now, he's allowing this stuff to happen. Now, what do you mean by that? Well, because, you know, we've kind of walked away from God, haven't we? We've sacrificed 60 million babies to Baal and to Moloch or to Asherah or whatever you want to call it in our sick fertility rituals and the weird stuff they do in these abortion clinics. We've done all that. We allowed prayer to be taken out of school. And I told my yesterday, I was talking to my 17-year-old daughter, my 19-year-old daughter, and I said, I want you to remember something. I did not go quietly into the night, neither did your brother Austin. We stood against this with every breath of our being, with every fiber of our being. We said, no, we will not walk quietly down that hallway. We will not go. We have stood against it, and I have stood against it my entire life. I have stood against the petrochemical pharmaceutical industry since the 80s when I started developing the top 10 foods never to eat, and when I had a clinic set up and I started realizing the vast majority of the people in the United States who were suffering from heart disease, diabetes, and cancer, it was because of their dietary choices. And I stood against them, and I spoke out against high-fat luncheon meats and pork products and aspartame and hydrogenated oils and trans fats and contaminated shellfish. In general, shellfish is contaminated. You should never eat it. And number five, high fructose corn syrup and sugar. And I could give you the whole list of the top 10 foods never to eat. I stood against the manufacturers of these people to the point of being threatened with lawsuits because I called them out on national radio and national TV. Back when I could still do that, when they let me. They stopped all that in the mid-90s. I did all of this stuff because I knew something was wrong, that we were leading the world when it came to heart disease, to diabetes and cancer, that the leading cause of death on our children age 14 and other than accidents was cancer, and leukemia was the leading cause of death in these kids. I knew something was wrong when we had half the children in classrooms on Ritalin and Adderall, and I spoke out against it. And years ago, Austin, I think six or seven years ago now, we started this talk show, and we want to let you guys know why they're doing this to you and how they're tying it all together. But remember, God is in control. There are some truths found in the Bible that are especially helpful right now in times of trouble. Number one, there is no crisis in heaven. Right now, there's no crisis in heaven. You know, they know what's going on. They're not having a big meeting up there going, oh my gosh, we've got crisis 101 down on earth. They don't have that. Number two, God is still on his throne. Lucifer's not going to win this deal. It's not going to happen. We already know how the story ends. We've read the book. We know how it works. Number three, God has a solution to every problem that we face on earth. As Christians, right now, friends, this is our moment to shine and show the world that we have a God that works the supernatural. He's given us the Bible, and it contains promises that cannot be broken, as God's word cannot be broken. So we have to learn, and we have to ask each other, are you willing to trust God implicitly? The word says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not to your own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct and guide thy paths. be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It shall be health to thy navel and marrow to your bones. Put God first, and he will reward you. Commit your plans unto the Lord, and they will succeed. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life of what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, or yet for your body what ye shall put on. It's not the life more than meat, the body more than raiment. Behold, the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Which of you, by taking thought or worrying, can add a single moment to your life? And why take this thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither they spin. And yet I tell you that even Solomon in all of his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which this day is going to be cast, is going to be harvested and cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you? Guys, it's so important that we understand that God's in charge, that Jesus Christ came for us, that we have the blood of the covenant of the eternal sacrifice of God himself through Christ Jesus that saved us and connected us into the very throne room of heaven. Don't allow these people to take your joy. Don't allow them to take your faith. That's what they want to do. They want to make you have fear, which you don't have to have fear. They want to take your joy, and they want to hurt your faith because they want you to serve them. Take that mark of that beast and feel as though that you have to capitulate. Guys, we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us, and we certainly don't have to tolerate these lowlife that are running this planet. Stand against them. Stand firm. Don't capitulate. And realize, guys, that Rothschild banking cartel and all of its Kabbalah mess that it's involved in is doing everything it can to manipulate you, your groupthink, and everything else they're trying to do to make you think that Donald Trump's in charge right now and that he's doing all of this for your good. This is the whole thing of the Q movement. The whole thing of the Q movement, the CIA mind psych operation that's being used to make you think that Donald Trump is in charge. Donald Trump is a figurehead. He told us a few weeks ago the coronavirus was a hoax, if you guys don't remember that. And now we all realize it's not a hoax. It's real. The problem we have right now, though, is these guys are going to use this to bring order out of chaos, to bring in their new world order. Guys, we can't let them do that, and we've got to stand firm in the things that we know and believe. Because remember, if enough of us stand against this online, talk to our friends about it, and we send links to the shows that Austin and I are doing or other shows that you know are telling you guys the truth, and we stand in aggregate against it, they'll measure the aggregate pushback, and they'll say, oops, it ain't time yet. Too many patriots, too many godly Christians who don't want to build a third temple, who are saying no to the new world order, and what'll happen is they'll back off again. This is what they always do. They push it out as far as they can. When they get resistance, they back off. If they don't get resistance, they keep pushing. You can't let them keep pushing. Yesterday, I was talking to Gene via voice text, and he said to me, he said he's had friends of his, and Carmen and a few other folks that listen to my 1225 show. Guys, if you haven't listened to last year's Christmas show that I played, listen to that show. This is before the coronavirus was in. I don't even talk about coronavirus, but it'll build your faith because you'll know who we are and what we are as Christians and how to pray properly and who and what we are in Christ Jesus. Really, really important. Austin, what do you think, buddy, and what's your next story?
Well, that's really well said. And I mean, and that's what, you know, we've continually talking about as well, is as we've pretty much realized, this entire thing's been a banker sham. I mean, I talked to you guys in detail on the show, on the Hagman show on Friday, about this $2.2 trillion stimulus package. And that's what's kind of ironic. I've heard the same thing that a bunch of people are coming as, oh, Trump's put the Fed under control of the Treasury now. The Fed can't do anything. He just ended the Fed. Q's in control again and all this stuff. And I just started laughing. And first off, what they did was the Fed's taking over every faction of the government. That's what's happening right now. Apparently, nobody's understanding what's happening. They're either putting out massive amounts of loans to small or large companies that they're going to intentionally try to default on because they know that these loans, especially with what's going on, there's a high probability we're going to go into recession. They're not a recession, a depression in the next 6 to 12 months. That's not even really a question anymore. And what they're doing is they're giving out essentially these shark loans to to these banks, which I'll read to you right here. Here's what it is. The $350 billion that goes to the small business loans, businesses can receive up to a $10 million loan based on how much the company paid its employees between January 1st and February 29th. The loans will carry a 4% interest rate. Loans will be administered by banks and other lenders. See what they're doing here? They're lending the money to small businesses at a 4% loan based on how much money you paid your employees at the beginning of the year. Okay, so it's a 4% business loan. Then they go on to say that these businesses, basically all of the loan funds will have to be used for approved purposes and maintain the average size of the full-time workforce, and the principal of the loan may be forgiven if the company puts all the money into the approved funds, as far as where they put it, and the company will only have to pay back the interest. So you're like, all right, well, this sounds really good. I mean, after all, I mean, realistically, if you're a business, as long as you use the money specifically for what they tell you to, and you keep your workforce in place, they'll basically they'll forgive it by the end of the year. I think after 12 months, there'll be like a 12-month forgiveness term on it. If not, you get stuck with the entire loan and the 4% interest, and it basically goes on. I think it's like a four-year note, which is really short, considering if you're a business and you take a $10 million loan, well, now all of a sudden you got a significant amount of money that you're having to fork out every single month to try to basically cover this loan. You're dealing with a huge, huge, huge payment, you know, like a $20,000 a month payment on that. That's some serious money you've got to come up with. And now they say the funds can only be used for payroll, rent, mortgage interest, and utility payments. So ironically enough, the money they're giving you at 4% can only be used essentially to give money back to the banks, including in mortgage interest or the utility companies, and also can be used as payroll. The catch-22 with this is payroll. If you're taking a loan to cover payroll, and the economy is still taking a crap, and your sales are through the floor, you're not taking that money and putting it in inventory. At least if you could take the money and put it in inventory, you could sit on the inventory and slowly move it. You can't do that. You have to spend it immediately and basically take the money and put it into payroll, which dissipates really quickly, especially if you have a lot of employees, or mortgage interest, or utility payments, or rent. So they're setting these loans up intentionally so that they're not going to be forgiven. I'm telling you right now, probably 90% of these loans are never going to be forgiven because they're going to fail to meet the obligations they require from them. Because what's going to happen is they're going to have cash flow in the bank, and they're going to say, we can't just spend the money on this. We need the money to be allotted for inventory. We need to be the cover shipping costs. We have all these different things we got to cover. We have the money right now. We have to spend it on that. As soon as they do it, bam, no forgiveness on the loan, 4% note continually for 4 years. And then what's going to happen in the next year or two? When business downfalls, the loan money's gone, payroll's still through the roof, they got to start letting people go, and now they're trying to figure out how to cover their giant loan payment every single month. What do you think is going to happen? The banks are going to do exactly what they've done in every country, in every depression that we've ever seen for thousands of years. They're going to come in, they're going to seize the assets, they're going to take the company, and they're going to put them out of business, and they're going to shift them in to another giant conglomerate they have and put them underneath Kellogg's or do some other stupid thing that they do and swallow them up into the giant corporate world, or just dissipate the entire company, burn the inventory off, and be done with it. This is what they're incredibly good at doing. Banks are amazing. These bankers are amazing at coming in and exploiting a horrible situation and making sure they come in and take as much as they can from the public. And here's the irony about this. This whole bill that came out on Friday, you know, they're saying now, if you got unemployment, you're going to get $875 a month in unemployment now. Goes up $600 on top of what it already is. So now you're going to be making like $3,500 a month if you're on unemployment now. That's tax-free, by the way. $3,500, if I'm not mistaken. You don't pay taxes on that. It's unemployment money. Well, golly, guys. I mean, that's pretty big incentive not to work. I mean, $3,500 a month after taxes? I mean, that's pretty good money to do absolutely nothing. Oh, and they're getting the $1,200 check. But then, ironically enough, you look at all these numbers, the money they allotted for the loans for small businesses, the money they allotted for the big businesses, the money that they're giving to the people in the $1,200 checks, the money that they're giving basically for the increase in unemployment. All of that barely reaches $1 trillion. So my question to everybody is this. Where's the other $1.2 trillion going in this stimulus bill that everybody's ranting about? It's so great. They're stimulating the economy. Trump's saving America. Everybody's going to be great now. We're getting a $1,200 check. Newsflash, guys. $1,200 doesn't even cover most people's mortgages for 1 month. Nobody was talking about that, and nobody's talking about where the other $1.2 trillion is going. Well, when I ran the numbers, I told you guys this on Friday, it's nuts. $100 million is going to TSA for nothing, by the way. TSA got a huge pay increase in January. All these companies, all these alphabet agencies in the government already got an increased budget in January. This is additional to their budget. Congress gets a $25 million hike. PBS gets $75 million. National Endowment for the Arts gets $75 million. FCC gets $400 million. I mean, you can't even make this stuff up. And it goes on and on and on and on and on and on in perpetuity. This giant stimulus package was nothing more than the banks pushing the United States further into debt and giving them the ability to take over these small companies so they can completely and totally dominate the United States infrastructure when we come out on the backside of this. So be aware of what's going on, guys. Use wisdom. If you're a small company and you're thinking about taking this, I'm not telling you what to go either which way, because it may be beneficial for some people. But use wisdom with this, guys, because these loans, they're intentionally using them as predatory lending loans. They're saying that they're going to come in and they're going to forgive the loan and you only have to pay the debt if you keep the amount of employees on staff that you already currently had before this and you use the money only to what they designate you can use the money to. If you break any of those loan covenants, they automatically tell you your loan is not forgiven and has to be fully repaid with interest in the time frame, or they're seizing your company. So please be aware of this, understand what they're doing, and if you have to do it, make sure you do it very, 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 very wisely, and don't just go into it thinking you're about to get a bunch of free money and they're going to give you your loan forgiveness and everything's going to be hunky-dory, because that's exactly what about a bunch of people are about to start doing. I've already heard rumors of it. People are, oh, I get a loan. If I do this, they're going to repay things with my free money. It's, you know, they're going to, you know, forgive it. It's going to be great. Be wary of this, guys. Be wary of this, because this is exactly how these banks get you. This is predatory lending 101 to see if they can get everybody by the hook. And then once they get them by the hook, you better read that fine print when you sign that loan note, because I promise you there are going to be pages of fine print when you sign these loans. Page after page after page after page, because these bankers are stinking greedy and they love nothing more than to take and to seize as much as they can, all under the guise of, we're helping you with a loan. Understand what's going on, guys, and use wisdom if you have to get involved with these things. What do you think, Dan?
You know, Austin, you're 100% right. I've got a friend of mine who did the same thing. He basically had a credit line with a bank, and he broke his loan covenant with it. He was late paying the bill, and he was still paying the bill, but he was late. They sent their bean counters in, saw that he had broken the loan covenant and had used the money for something other than it was designated, exactly what you're talking about, Austin. And yep, they seized the company, got a restraining order on him. I think this guy was with $80 million a year in sales. $80 million. Took it over. Took it all. Took everything. Threw him out. He got a restraining order. He couldn't go to the property. He was told couldn't even go. He's like, a U.S. Marshal met him at the door. Okay, so if you don't think they'll do this to you, I know somebody who they did it to. I mean, it's something that they do, because it's what the 25 pages of fine print says they're going to do if you sign this paperwork. And you can't change it, because if you sign the paperwork, the judge will ask you if you dispute it, Mr. Jones, did you not read the paperwork? Well, yeah, I read the paperwork. Mr. Jones, did you sign the paperwork? Yeah, I signed the paperwork. Mr. Jones, you signed the legal document. You have no choice. They're going to do what they want to do because you signed it. You gave them the right. So, Mr. Jones, I have to basically agree with them. You're no longer allowed to go to this facility because they told you you have to stay out. And you're like, oh, okay, that's it. And the bean counters take it over. Now, one thing I want to say also, I agree with also 100% that unemployment benefits should not be taxable. But according to IRS law, guys, they're actually taxable. You have to pay tax on unemployment income. Austin's right. You shouldn't have to do it. But, guys, you have to pay income tax on everything, including unemployment income. I mean, it's not bad enough that you're having to rely on the government to give you money because you're unemployed. Now they're going to tax you on the money they give you. I mean, it's the craziest thing I've ever seen, how twisted and how messed up this stuff is. But, guys, this is how they do their thing.
By the way, some mega churches are still packing in crowds around the United States despite the coronavirus. This is an article from Bloomberg. I've posted it on the website, and it lists various groups of people all around the country, including in Florida, that are still having church services. And when they're asking these people basically why they're doing this, they're refusing to answer or say anything to the press. And I posted the website of who's involved in all this. Now, you say to me, you say, well, this, they should be able to have church service. All right. Okay. Let's think through this for a second. You know, we know coronavirus is extremely contagious. We know that. And, you know, should we be allowed to have church service? I think if you had it in an outside setting and, you know, you basically kept people far enough apart that they weren't going to be contaminating one another, and people were, who were actually sick, were wearing a mask or stayed at home. And I think that's probably okay. But you start having it inside of a closed building with closed ventilation systems. I hate to tell you guys, and as much as I don't like saying, that's pretty negligent of the pastor. It is. I mean, it's pretty negligent. You put 400 or 500 people or 4,000 or 5,000 people into a room, and they're all breathing the same air, it's getting circulated. What's the difference between that and being on a cruise ship with closed circulation on an airplane? And, you know, if I was the pastor, I would, here's how I would look at it. Now, some of you may disagree with me on this, and that's okay. But that's how I look at it. If I was the pastor, I would say, what's the best interest of my flock? I've got people here that are probably sick. I know it's a very, very, very contagious disease. What's the best interest of my flock? How can I take care of my family? And I would say, now, if we're going to do it, we're going to do it outside. If we're going to do it, we're going to do it, you know, someplace where there's going to be a lot of ventilation, nobody's going to be breathing each other's air. Or we can do it online because we have the technology to do that. Now, I don't like any of those options, and I think we should still be able to go in and be together in a church service. But when you have a communicable disease that's extremely infectious, you got to think through this. Now, the next question is, why would some preachers do this? I'm not saying all preachers, but why would some preachers do it? Well, it's about the money. And you go, come on, Ted, about the money? Yeah. A lot of these guys spend every single penny they have that comes in. I mean, their entire lifestyle is predicated upon how much money that comes in from the church. They've got the church budget. They've got the staff. They've got the people who are in the church who basically rely on that church for income. They've got their private lifestyle. I know pastors right now that are continuing to have church service who fly private jets all over the world. Who fly private jets to the tune of millions of dollars a year all over the world, and they have to have the money coming in from their church in order to support their lifestyle. And you think, well, why would they do that? Well, that's a good question. I don't know. Some of these guys are really horrible business people, and they don't care about, you know, taking care of their church. Now, if I had a church, what I would do, number one, and I would do the best thing to begin with to make sure the church is paid off. I would never, ever go in and basically build some giant facility and leverage it and have the people in the church basically in bondage to paying off this thing. I know one mega church pastor out of Orlando, not going to mention any names, because I know a whole bunch of these guys who I really don't think are true men of God. And he built a huge church in Orlando, had everybody pay it off, and then turned around. Listen to this. Turned around and sold it to another preacher. He moved to California. And the preacher paid him like $10 million for the facility. And the people who had paid off the facility, who were still going to church there, had to pay it off again, which they never did. See, guys, that kind of stuff's not right. It's just not right. You see, and that's the problem that we have with the mega churches. They didn't have mega churches back in the New Testament, back 2,000 years ago. Everyone met in people's homes. And people had Bible study in their homes. And they had fellowship in the homes. Say, well, see, does that mean you should obey coronavirus standards right now in your homes? I probably would do that. I would probably not have more than 10 people or whatever. Or if I had more than that, I'd have enough space for everybody to spread out and talk to everybody. I would do that. Still, I would do that right now. But, you know, we don't do in church meetings here at my house. But if I did, I wouldn't stop that. As long as, if I was maintaining, you know, some kind of space, and I tell people basically to not be, you know, breathing and sneezing on each other if they were sick, to stay home. Yeah, I'd probably do all that. And but I'd also make sure they were all taking D3, potassium iodide, and vitamin C. But yeah, you know, but see, that's the thing, isn't it? No one wants to tell people how to fix this mess and how to keep their immune system strong. All they want to do is basically say, oh, by the way, maintain social distancing and don't sneeze on each other. Well, no, you got to keep the immune system strong. So should megachurch pastors, you guys can send me some emails, send awesome emails, could be allowed to continue to maintain their lifestyle of their private jets and their megachurches and their giant mansions because they want to or because they should? Answer that question. What do you guys think about that? What do you think is the real answer on any of that? By the way, latest article on the vaccine reaction. Now we're having an unprecedented response to this coronavirus, this COVID-19, by governments prohibiting physical contact, and now is crippling the world economy. Really, really interesting article to read. And again, another article, high doses of vitamin C used to prevent and treat coronavirus infections in China. And Chinese now are taken from homes by police to coronavirus quarantine camps still to this day. The coronavirus has not stopped in China. They're just lying about that, telling you that it's been stopped. And Karen sent me a really interesting article the other day about how now they've got a new tattoo they're going to be using along with the vaccines that is going to be available. You can see it through ultraviolet light to make sure that everybody gets the mark to make sure they've received their vaccines. And we've talked about this in depth, about this being the mark of the beast. So guys, it's going to be interesting why these things are happening and how they unfold. But remember, keep your hearts and your minds on Christ right now. It's really, really important, because if we don't, we're going to get all wrapped up in this stuff and get all scared. We don't have to be scared. Be bold. Be bold in your faith right now. If you go somewhere, ask people, are you taking your vitamin C, your D3, and your potassium iodide? Ask them. You're in line and you're having to maintain your social distancing with the little red stripes and you're at the local hardware store or grocery store. Ask them, how many of you are taking your vitamin C, D3, and potassium iodide? Ask them. I do. I ask people that all the time. And why? Because if we all work together, we'll beat this thing. We will. If we get rid of the Federal Reserve, we'll beat all of it. If we get rid of the Federal Reserve and get these Kabbalist bankers out of our doggone hair, if you want to use a term, just get them out of our life and go back to the way it was before Woodrow Wilson sold us down the river, we could bring the United States back, and we'd come back rip-roaring fast, too, if we were able to do it with debt-free currency. We could get rid of the IRS. We'd be able to keep our money. We could work off of tariffs like we were supposed to on the Constitution, let the federal government stay small, and the United States would be once again an incredibly prosperous debt-free nation. Before the Federal Reserve, we were the largest lending nation in the world. Now we're the largest debtor nation in the world. Yeah, 100 years. Wow, what 100 years brought us. Austin, what do you think?
Well, that's really well said. And I mean, and there's definitely been all kinds of reports starting to pop up now. I talked to on the Hagman Show on Friday. Bill Gates did that interview, I think it was last week, on Reddit. And he blatantly said eventually we will have to have some digital certificate to show who has recovered, been tested, or who has received their vaccine. Now, it's ironic because, as I said before, there's no clause in there about you never got it and you're perfectly healthy and your immune system's strong. He gives three options, and he says it very succinctly. We have to have a digital certificate to show who has recovered, who has been tested, or who has received the vaccine. Notice that in there. There's nothing in the middle of that that says, oh, and it shows basically that you're healthy and you haven't been tested, so you don't really need it. Because why? You would need a digital certificate. If you haven't been tested and you haven't gotten sick and you're still perfectly healthy, what's the issue here? And see, remember, they're also, and I've gotten reports about this already, they're using this to collect DNA samples on everybody again. Remember, when they're doing these coronavirus tests, they're doing mouse swabs. They're doing DNA collection. Remember how 23andMe and Ancestry.com has compiled millions and millions and millions of people's DNA? Oh, that's right. And then they started selling it to pharmaceutical companies to do DNA-specific pharmaceuticals. I mean, that's not a conspiracy theory. That's a fact. I mean, a lot of people argued with me when that first came out. Oh, no, they'd never do that. I'm like, oh, they did, and they will. Look it up. And, of course, sure enough, they're open about it. They're collecting it again now. Everybody's going to get tested. Everybody's going to get tested. And I'm not saying that if you don't feel good or something going on, you need to get tested. I'm not saying you shouldn't. But I'm saying you need to use wisdom about it. And while we're at it, now we have Iceland. has now come out. Now, multiple scientists in Iceland have come together, and they have said they have found over 40 mutations of the coronavirus. Now, only researchers that have actually been looking at this, they said thousands of people in Iceland gave swabs to test for the coronavirus 19. They sequenced the genome of the virus to look for mutations. They found 40, which could be traced to three different countries. They said using genetic sequencing, the researchers identified how many mutations the virus had accumulated. So if this is actual, this is factual, and this is from Daily Mail yet on Friday, then this thing is, that's showing us why we're seeing some people that are getting it much worse and other people that are mildly getting it, and a lot of people, and what it appears to come down to is how well your immune system is, how well it's functioning, how well your body can fight off the virus, and what type of mutation you get, and or if this thing mutates in your body, if you have a weaker immune system. That's been another theory that they've been discussing, is that when you contract this virus, if you have a really, really strong immune system, you know, that virus hits a brick wall. Bam! All of a sudden, white blood cells go nuts. They start killing it. What happens is these people that do not have it, is this virus apparently mutates every couple days, and it gets worse and worse and worse and worse and worse. Now, I'm not saying that's what's going on. I'm saying that's what I've been hearing and reading, but who really knows? And back to what you were saying, Dad, as far as what we're starting to see with the churches, my personal opinion right now, I find it very odd, this is just me, that these pastors that have become multi-millionaires through their nonprofit 501c3 corporations that they don't have to pay income tax on, just going to add that on there, that they're not talking about giving money back to their congregation that have been laid off. Well, that's a topic nobody wants to talk about. Why is Joel Osteen not discussed helping out his congregation of individuals that have been legitimately laid off and have tithed? Think about it. If you pull up a record, you show up, you have 10,000 people in the church that are active tithers, and you can look and see how much money they've given the last couple of years. You can give out a hand to them and say, hey, man, you've tithed, you've given your money to the church, you've had a horrible financial issue right now. We'd like to help you out. Please come into the church, or please notify us and talk to us over the phone, and we'll discuss you. I haven't heard any of that. No. We're not going to do that. Remember, that's too logical. That'd be too logical to think the church would actually help you out in time of need like they used to do, like they were supposed to do. That's the topic you want to do. And now the New York Times just published a horrible op-ed on Friday that basically is blaming evangelic Christians for the coronavirus pandemic. Of course, this is a massive anti-Christian article. The New York Times, you can't expect much out of them. Catherine Stewart says because religious voters supported Trump and he governs without regard for science, and basically the evangelicals are what got him elected, and he doesn't follow science, and so we're making the virus worse and worse and worse, which is idiotic. I mean, this is just I'll figure out a way how to blame Christians and Trump at the same time. And the article is titled, "The Road to Coronavirus Hell Was Paved by Evangelicals." Idiotic. But then what she does do is she goes in to provoke several quotes from pastors who push back and have not closed their churches. So you guys got to understand, when these churches are coming in and they're still having these huge congregations meeting together, they're giving ammunition to the far left to blame them for spreading the coronavirus even further. Not saying it's accurate, not saying it's factual, not saying it's even right, but it's not something, in my opinion, I would personally go do right now. We have the ability to have incredible good technology. I mean, you can do Skype, you can do FaceTime, you can do Facebook Live, you know, with church services. There's so many ways to still congregate, to still have Bible studies without going in and having all these people coming into the church and sniffing and coughing and sneezing and hacking everywhere, because that's one thing I have to say with that I agree on. And this is something that's embarrassing from a Christian standpoint, but for some reasons, the hygiene of a lot of churches is abysmal. I don't know why, but I mean, the people you see in the church, they're coughing and hacking in the pew, don't cover their mouth, and you're like, dude, what are you doing? You go into the bathroom. I've been in the bathroom numerous times. I see people. They wash their hands. They sprinkle some water on their hands when they're in the bathroom. Sprinkle some water on their hands. Walk right over to the bathroom door and grab it with a bare hand and open the door and walk back out. I'm like, dude, are you kidding me right now? Are you kidding me right now? You really are going to sit there and open it with a hand without a towel, and you just washed your hands, so now your hands are contaminated again. Now, a lot of churches have been smart, and they've started to either use the open door, or at least they have the door open outward, so you may have to touch the door handle going in, but you don't have to touch it going out, along with automatic water dispensers and stuff like that. That's really smart, and I would do that immediately. I would retrofit that if I was a church right now. But just something to be aware of, use wisdom with everything that's going on, and make sure everybody is getting the right supplements they need. Also, too, in other news, PayPal, a buddy sent me this article the other day. It actually isn't an article. This is a press release from PayPal. And the title of it, this is what they sent out to like all their big customers, all their customers, eBay, so forth. It said, "Going cashless amidst the coronavirus 19 question mark? Here's how to pay and get paid with PayPal and stay cashless. As the coronavirus has quickly impacted people around the world in many ways, we understand the desire for people to take extra hygienic precautions like avoiding the germs associated with handling any paper money. We're here to help. PayPal is a secure, easy way to get paid and get paid without handling cash or sharing your financial information. If you're getting started, here's some tips on using PayPal," and then it goes on to talk about it. Now, again, I've told you before, there's no argument that cash is dirty. You can swab cash, and I mean, it can have fecal matter on it, it can have bacteria on it, it can have cocaine, it can have drug residue on it. There's no question about that. So I'm not going to argue with you and tell you cash is clean. However, on the other hand, too, what I can tell you with a 100% certainty is cash is essentially untraceable with cash-to-cash transactions from person to person. And that, my friends, is something they do not want you doing any longer. There has been article after article, store after store. Everything I have been reading now has been pushing the idea of going cashless. This is the next step that they're going to do in the next couple weeks. And I'm telling you now, and I'm calling this out before it happens, because I'm very confident. I've talked to a few people about this already. If they can keep this coronavirus scare going and they can keep enacting as much as they can, it's highly probable is what they're going to tell is they're going to say, okay, businesses that want to open can open, but you're going to have your social distancing, you're only going to have so many people in the store, and you're only going to be able to do credit card transactions, no cash transactions. I've already heard this from multiple people. And then and think about it for a second. You should take a step back and you're like, okay, that's sanitary. But now think about this. We have the government telling you how you can accept payment. We have the government telling you how many people can be in your store at one certain time. We have the government telling you how far everybody has to be standing away from one another. If I didn't know any better, I would think this whole thing has been a giant ruse to do a full-blown totalitarian takeover of the United States. And I don't think I would be inaccurate, guys. I'm not saying this virus isn't real, but think about what we have happening now. Now we have the Florida-Georgia line basically completely barricaded, doing roadblock checks to see where you're from, basically testing people if they have coronavirus, and basically talking to people about quarantining if they're coming from another state, which I don't really have a problem with. You need to. Quite frankly, you don't even need to come down here. But here's the next thing. Now we have Bill Gates coming out saying you're going to have a digital certificate if you basically get healthy from the virus or if you get your vaccine. So how are these roadblocks going to stay in? Are they going to continue to stay in place? Are we going to have paper please checkpoints throughout the country now? Are we going to have requests for your digital certificate so you can get through roadblocks to show you're clean and you have your vaccine? I don't know, but I'm telling you right now, everything's starting to point in that direction, and we really need to be vocal and stand up to this right now, because so many people are sitting back being complacent and not saying a word, as Dad said, for fear of the political correctness and for fear of anybody coming out and, you know, not agreeing with what they're doing. Because remember, Trump said it 2 weeks ago, essentially, I paraphrase, you're basically with us or you're with the virus. That's where we're headed with now, guys. And now if you don't go along with what they say, you're essentially with the virus, which is, i.e., the new boogeyman terrorist. Just something to think about, Dad.
Several things I want to comment. Number one, about churches giving money back to parishioners. Most churches can't do that because they don't have the money. I'm just going to be honest with you guys. They spend the money on operations, on salaries, on utilities, on payments, on mortgages, et cetera. They don't have a large cash available balance that's not spoken for or actually going to have to be put out. Now, the churches that Austin's talking about are the ones that basically have large amounts of cash reserves or revenue. One particular preacher that I'm not going to mention his name, he says he's a billionaire. And he bought thousands of acres of in Texas to run his ministry compound from. He has multiple jets, his own landing strip, and of course they found oil on his land that's pumping huge amounts of money back into the ministry. I mean, it's just the guy's got he says I'm a billionaire. He brags about it, more than a billionaire. Now, people like that, as far as I'm concerned, who have that kind of cash flow reserves. Yes, they should be helping other ministries. They should be helping other individuals. And I'm talking about to the tune of stripping their money down and basically spending 95% of their $1 billion, leaving themselves $50 million, which is more than enough for operating capital, and giving all of that money away to other nonprofits that can then distribute it back into the people who basically are about to lose everything. Now, also, I've got to say this. 80% of the churches are supported by 20%. 80% of a church's budget is supported by 20% of the givers. And then about 20% of the givers support 80% of the church's budget. So the other reality is a lot of people will be going to churches who don't give money to churches. They'll be going to the food bank at the church who don't support the church in times when times are good. And so we all have to work together to support one another. But guys, here's the thing. Think through this for a second. If you really want to depend on a church in your time of need, so shouldn't you try to help that church in your times of abundance? Just a thought. Because, we all have to work together. It can't be just a one-sided flow. I told my friends years ago, and I'm going to say this, and it's going to probably get me fussed at by a few of you guys, but I'm just going to be just straight with you guys. And now listen to me for a second. I know you guys love us and we love you, and I prayed for you this morning in earnest again. I do every day. And here's the thing. I learned a long time ago that givers can't be friends with takers. Now, why is that? Because the givers are always giving and the takers are always taking until the givers give everything they have and the takers have it all. And there's no reciprocity. As Christians, we have to be reciprocal with each other. Like, you guys support Health Masters. We support you. We pray for you guys. So many of you guys have my personal email address and so many of my cell phone number, and I'm always calling you back and contacting you back and talking to you. And we're reciprocal. When I pray for you every day, I pray for you like you're my family. I plead the blood of Christ over you. I station angels around you. I put a hedge of thorns around you, and I pray abundance in your lives. I pray this every single day. I've extended my spiritual covering to the best of my ability over all of you who will receive it. And because of that, and because of the show, and because of the reciprocity of being wanting to support Health Masters, you guys have done that. And I want to thank you from the bottom of my heart, from the depth of my being for that. I want to thank you for supporting us, because we're here for you. You're here for us. That's the way Christians are supposed to be. That's how it's supposed to work. It's not supposed to be a me, 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 take, take, take. If I had a church and I had a flock, I would never ask you to come into a group setting right now with a chance of getting any of you contaminated with coronavirus. I wouldn't do it. I wouldn't do it. And I would probably put in the doggone church, as much as I could, some ample supplies of D3 and potassium iodide and vitamin C for the parishioners who couldn't afford it. That's what I would do if I was a pastor right now. I would do that for you guys. Why? Because it's what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to support each other, uplift each other, edify each other, work together. The pace, literally, which this coronavirus is changing life in America is absolutely insane. This thing has literally transformed our entire country in a matter of weeks. And as long as people are afraid of this thing, it's not going to return to normal. It's not. In fact, every shelter-in-place order in America could be lifted tomorrow and economic activity wouldn't rebound very quickly because of what's happening to a large percent of the populations who are still hesitant to leave their own homes. They're still scared. People are scared. Coronavirus survivors tell us stories of the horrible things they've endured, and an increasing number of Americans are finally realizing how dangerous the thing has become. If you have asthma or a history of respiratory problems or other serious underlying health conditions, you could come down with this thing and die. And these pastors need to realize this.
You've got people over the age of 65 that are coming to your church, and they're on all kinds of medications. They have compromised immune systems. By having your church service, you could get them infected with coronavirus. So all of us right now need to realize things are very, very real. But we're not to walk in fear. We're to walk in love and a power and a sound mind. And just use common sense. Use common sense. Good hygiene, like Austin says. You know, don't just sprinkle water on your hands. Wash your hands thoroughly when you're in a bathroom. If you're only using running water, turn the water volume up so you get some water. You know, grab use a paper towel to open up the doors. I've been telling you the same stuff for years on this show to reduce the risks of flu. But yet, when is that preached? In a church? I've never heard it in church, ever. Not once. Now, your pastor may have said something about it. I mean, if I was at church right now, I'd prop the doggone door open with a doorstop. You know, if I had a business that people were coming in and out of and you couldn't see where the toilet was and basically it was around the corner somewhere, I would prop the door open, you know, in the bathroom so you wouldn't have to deal with that. Or I'd prop the door open and put something between the door and the bathroom if you could see inside so people could walk around the stanchion and not basically have to touch anything. Guys, let's use common sense and realize that we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. Guys, thanks again for supporting Health Masters. Thanks again for listening to this show. This show is getting huge. It's because of you guys. You guys are putting it on Facebook. You're putting it on Instagram. You're sending it everywhere. And that means the world to me that we're all part of the same thing together. We're all part of the same team, part of the same family. I love you guys. Austin, go ahead and finish it up, and I'll talk to you guys tomorrow.
Yes, guys, and thank you again for the continued support. Be safe, stay ready for everything, and just be aware of all this. I've seen that, you know, a lot of people that I know have been basically getting well prepared now, as we have been down here, as we pretty much need to stay prepped for anything. This may be over in a couple weeks, but highly doubtful. So just be aware of that and keep your immune system strong. Keep your diet clean. Be exercising right now. I've been very proud of a lot of people around my town here. Seen a lot of people walking, bicycling, you know, just getting active and doing stuff, which is fantastic. Make sure you're exercising, even if it is in your home or you got to go in your backyard. Get some training in. Make sure your conditioning's good. And lay off the sugar. Lay off the sweets. Eat very clean right now. Keep your body healthy. Give this chance of time to detox and cleanse your body out and really get back in shape. It's a great time to do so. Keep your immune system strong and up and running, guys. Thank you for the support. We still have the vitamin C antioxidant in stock and a couple of the vitamin C powders left, but we only have those via over the phone. But the vitamin C antioxidant caps are on the website, back on there. And so you guys can check those out on the website of Health Masters. And also check out the product of the week, the vitamin E. Our super potent E formula is on sale as product of the week. And be sure to vote for what you want to see win this Wednesday. Thank you guys for the continued support. Stay strong. Stay awake. Have a blessed night. We'll talk to you again tomorrow, as always.